Running your own business can feel isolating, but you don't have to figure it all out alone. Join a free guest session inside the Smashing the Plateau community to get fresh ideas and real solutions to your biggest business challenge. Spots are limited. Reserve yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.
I was given 5 years once I was diagnosed with MAC lung disease. At the most, I was given 5 years. And look at me now. I'm going on 11. And I'm healthier and more productive than I was for generations.
Today's guest is Debbie Wimberly, and her story is a powerful reminder that our greatest breakthroughs often come from our deepest struggles. What happens when the systems you've trusted your whole life suddenly let you down? When the career you built, the health providers you relied on, and the identity you worked so hard to create all seem to disappear at once? For Debbie, the answer was unexpected and transformative. In this episode, she takes us on a journey of rediscovery, sharing how she found her way back to herself through curiosity, resilience, and a willingness to explore what others dismissed. She challenges the way we think about limitations, showing that the boundaries we believe are fixed are often far more flexible than we imagine. She also unpacks the art of collaboration, not just in business, but in life, and how finding the right people can completely change the trajectory of what you're able to create and contribute to the world. If you're at a crossroads, feeling stuck, or searching for a deeper sense of purpose in your work, this conversation will speak directly to you. Get ready. This one is going to make you think differently about everything. Now let's welcome Debbie Wimberly. Debbie is a survivor of decades of chronic pain and lung disease who turned her challenges into entrepreneurship and quality health advocacy. With a background in medical technology, oncology, hospitals, and work at Digital Equipment, helping develop the networking technology, she now empowers individuals and professionals through education, collaboration, and resilience, showing how limitations can be transformed into meaningful work and impact. Debbie, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, David. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, great to have you on. So let's start off by talking just a little bit about your career journey.
All right. Yeah, I started in the medical field in oncology and working in medical technology, actually, you know, discovering why people are sick. And then I transitioned into the computer industry to help develop the networking industry so we could actually connect doctors with information so that they would have it, never understanding that we would be where we are now. Believe me, we thought it was big, but I don't think we saw that technology, the networking technology, would be here. To then find myself being told I could not work anymore due to a health issue. And then I spent decades working and developing and becoming a lifelong examiner and experimenting with health, and actually turning my life over to someone else to manage and basically handing them the keys to my health and my life until they abandoned me and said, there's nothing more we can do. And then it was like, oh. So I've been trusting in a system that can just give up on you. So then I decided I need to take charge and learn how to become my own health advocate. And within that process, I learned about the endocannabinoid system and cannabinoid therapies. And then I learned how, when we are engaged with ourselves fully and understand this system, is when we make good decisions for ourselves, our health, and our life, and in our job.
So I'm hearing some major themes. One is pivots, right? Life throws us curves, and we either figure out how to make a pivot or we succumb. And it sounds like you have become a master at making pivots.
I think that being curious and exploring is the biggest pivot that I learned. I think we forget how to be curious when we become adults. And being abandoned by my work, by my health providers, I realized I needed to go inward. And I started looking at nursery rhymes and going back and studying what I had learned as a kid, like Alice in Wonderland, Goldilocks, Princess and the Pea, Humpty Dumpty. And I've been able to discover that curiosity is the key that keeps us all happy and healthy and alive. And when we explore through curiosity is when we become true to ourselves and become true to what we do in our work.
Yeah, absolutely. Very clever. Yes, children are naturally curious. Yeah, and our culture, our school system, and lots of forces in our society seem to push that out of us.
Oh, absolutely. Learning and just engaging with that and seeing how curiosity plays such a role in you advancing who you are as a person. When you're more in tune with who you are as a person and making decisions that benefit you and your health, then it helps you benefit in your job or any career that you have. But without that curiosity, you might not find the answers that you're looking for.
Yeah. No, curiosity is definitely an important bedrock in decision-making and figuring out how to go forward. The other thing that strikes me is you have also tried to be very proactive in your decision-making and the way your decision-making affects you and how those outcomes affect the future of your work and your life.
Well, I think that a really good example of this is when I was working at Digital Equipment and even in the medical field. You have a system that you work within. You have to follow these rules, the specifications. This is what you need to do. And we take the person out of it. We don't really think about the person and their health and their quality of life. And going through this process, I've learned that we have to come back to that. And that if you have happy employees and they're healthy, you have a happy, healthy workforce. If you're running your own business and you're running 90 miles an hour and not taking care of your health and being true to who you are and what you need, then you're not going to be successful either. So I think that it is understanding that you as a person needs to be at the core of everything. And you are unique and different for a reason. And they want your uniqueness to be coming forth instead of just fitting into a mold.
So Debbie, what are some of the key elements that you promote and teach people so that you can be in control, make good decisions, take care of your own health and welfare, help your own uniqueness shine so that you can be true to what you are meant to be doing and also have the kind of impact that you are meant to have?
I think it's learning to re-engage with who you are. I think that we get so stuck into looking to be like someone else or to accomplish what someone else accomplished. I think that we need to be looking at who we are and stop trying to be someone else or to mimic someone else. I think that for me personally, it was learning to sit with myself and listen to my body. It speaks to you on a daily basis. This is one of the things that you learn when you learn about your endocannabinoid system, which everyone is born with, and it plays a role. And you might not be listening. If you're not sleeping well, that's a signal that there's something wrong and you need to be listening and figuring out why. And so then you go on a search with curiosity of why that is. Or maybe you're over anxious today. That's your system not working correctly or sending you signals that you're anxious today. And so learning how to work with that system and how to feel out what is it that's causing this and to address it is really important. We don't need to stay in that mode of constant anxiety, you know, fluctuation of whatever it may be.
No, constant anxiety is not a good state. So in your own search, how did this process kind of play out? You know, learning about yourself, listening to yourself, searching with curiosity, and kind of minimizing anxiety and other detrimental signals.
It literally started like the princess and the pea. I used to have to wear a cam boot on my foot that had a 5-inch sole on it. And because of chronic reflex dystrophy in my leg, and which is a pain disorder. And I could feel a hair underneath that boot, a single hair. And I developed the term princess in the pea. Well, you're the princess in the pea because everybody's like, you can't feel that. No, I can. And that's when I started realizing that your body does speak to you in ways that you don't understand. And so many times we just push off. And so learning that in that instance, I learned, okay, now it's time to really start listening and really engaging with what those signals are. So I think that, you know, just being in tune with what everyday language your body is sending you is really important. It's different. It may be you're extremely happy and wonderful today and you want to continue that and capture that. Or maybe it's not your best day and maybe you are down or maybe you're anxious and it's addressing it. It changes every day. It's not something that's consistent that we can put in place and say, we're going to just have this level field all the time. That's not the way we work and we're not supposed to work that way.
Yeah. So how does this, learning about this process and kind of mastering this process for yourself, how does this now play out in your work?
Oh, it's huge. It's been everything in developing and working with other individuals. I think that most people are in such a fast-paced world that they just go, 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 and they don't take the time to sit and listen. But the other really big thing that's happened is learning to collaborate. I learned to collaborate with my body and then learning to collaborate with others and meeting them in a space where they are. So in this fast world that we live in, there's different personalities, different work ethics, and we need to learn how to work within those, but through collaboration. We don't have to see things eye to eye, but we have to be able to have open discussions and move things forward. We don't need as much divisiveness as we have today, and I think it's through collaboration. I collaborate with medical experts, you know, doctors, scientists, researchers, then I collaborate with patients and helping them to understand how this works for their body. So it's, you know, meeting the person where they're at and not having expectations beyond that, and then helping to identify how you can help them collaborate and work for themselves and in what they do.
Yeah. Can we go a little bit deeper into like what you actually do in your business around these issues?
Sure. I create an effective cannabis newsletter, which is an educational resource so that anybody that's interested in learning about the endocannabinoid system, but it's done through a collaboration of global people around the world. We want to highlight and we promote their content. So we want to show who are the experts are. There's not one person that knows all this information, and not one person can educate 80 billion people on this planet. So, you know, it's understanding that we all have a value and a worth and everybody is important and that your voice is just as important to someone else's. And then I'm creating a Wiser Len Health Story right now training so that you can come in and actually learn to engage and understand your endocannabinoid system and how to collaborate with your body and then take that out to collaboration. Therefore, moving on.
Yeah. So I hear the theme of collaboration in what you do in your work. And I'm also curious to know, in what you're doing now in your business, how are you connecting with peers and thinking partners who can be collaborators so that you can have the most impact?
It's really interesting because I still have challenging health conditions that keep me grounded in my home. And in my business, I don't get out. So it's through this technology that I helped create from the very beginning, networking. And that's how I met you. Through having been on a podcast somewhere, we were introduced and we met. And so all of my work is done through the internet, through Zoom, through Google Meets, wherever we can meet. And getting on social media, connecting with people. And so I think the biggest lesson to take away from here is that you're not limited unless you limit yourself. Because so many people think, well, because I'm disabled, because I have a health issue, I can't get out and work. And that's pretty much what happened to me when I was let go from digital equipment, is that, you know, I just didn't have a place anymore. And so that was a huge battle for me to go through, that my value and my worth had disappeared. And going through this process, I realized and found my value and worth. And it is not in a job title, not in a building, not in a business. It's within yourself. And if you want something, you can go get it. And it doesn't matter what the limitations are. Just where curiosity comes in and you get curious of how you can do this. How else can I accomplish what I need to do?
Yeah. Can you share a little bit more about like how you actually figured out using technology and that you are able to make a living in a business that you run that serves your needs and also works given your health limitations?
And literally, I wasn't planning this. It was something that happened by just curiosity. But I actually, at the time I started returning back to work after decades of being disabled, and I had a 24-hour caregiver, was on oxygen 24 hours a day, and was not living a life that anybody would want to live, I turned my focus to learning everything I could about the endocannabinoid system in cannabis so that I could take care of my own health. And then I soon realized there's an education that's missing here, because everybody needs to know that they're born with the system. It plays an important role in everything you do in life. And if you're not connecting with it, then you're probably not connecting with your best self or with your best wealth of work. Your health is your most valuable asset. And without it, you don't have a quality of life. And so from there, I just started teaching myself, because I went out on disability in 1989. That was before all of this technology that we're working with today existed. I've had to teach myself every single thing, and I have. And so it's all about curiosity, exploring, educating, and connecting with the right people that have the same values, the same focus, and the same ideas as moving forward in collaboration.
Yeah. So 1989 is a long time ago. And at what point were you able to get off oxygen and start working again?
It was 2015 when the medical field abandoned me. And it took a year for me to realize that I was onto something of learning about the endocannabinoid system. And so it took me about a year to figure out that I've eliminated 25 pharmaceuticals with one plant. I no longer need oxygen 24 hours a day. I just need it when I sleep or I'm up and active. And so it's understanding what you're capable of and what you can still do. But within that, there's a lot you can accomplish.
Yeah. Yeah. So 10 years is a pretty long time that you've been up and at it and self-supporting.
Yeah. In fact, I was given 5 years. Once I was diagnosed with MAC lung disease, at the most, I was given 5 years. And look at me now. I'm going on 11.
Yeah.
And I'm healthier and more productive than I was for generations.
Can you share a little bit about how you find good thinking partners that have helped things like your mindset and help you find what you need when you're curious and you're looking for a solution?
It's really vetting it. It's really vetting what they're saying, making sure that it's accurate. I think that accuracy is something that we're missing a lot of today, especially if you're doing a web search or something like that. I think talking to friends, talking to other people that are in the same situation that you are, is also very helpful. And it's always willing to be able to explore what might seem really unusual and different, and having an open mind and being able to say, I don't necessarily agree with all of that, but there's a piece of that that might really play a role. And then allowing yourself to explore that doesn't mean it's the end result for you, but it's about exploration. But I think vetting who you're working with and understanding, just because someone has a big name or they have a big product, doesn't necessarily mean it aligns with you. It's learning how to accept what you need and aligns with you. There isn't a right or wrong for as far as a whole. It's what's right or wrong for you.
Yeah. Is there a story that might illustrate this that you'd be willing to share?
I think that understanding and meeting someone like Dr. Bonnie Goldstein, someone that has devoted her life as a medical practitioner for over 16 years now, of understanding and navigating a health system that we're not taught about, but actually listens to you. It's not about talking to you. It's about listening to you and taking what you say and using that as the guide to what you need to do for your health. And I would say for what you need to do for your life. And so I think it's that knowing that there's someone out there in the medical community that will listen to you, and learning that you can collaborate with medical professionals versus them just dictating is really important. You know, even in the workforce, we need to have collaboration with our bosses if we're working for someone else. We need to be able to have the conversation and not become defensive, not become argumentative, whatever. We need to see that there needs to be a ground that we can meet that comes with commonality. And so I think that it's just really understanding to embrace who you are with whomever you're speaking with and being open about what you need and what your expectations are. And understanding that not everybody might not can meet those needs right there, but they might meet some of them.
Yeah, that's great. Debbie, what advice would you have for someone who is making the transition from corporate life to entrepreneurship? I know you made that transition a long time ago, but what advice would you have for them in particular about finding the right people to collaborate with? Because one of the things that happens when you leave corporate is you may not have the right network to support what you're trying to achieve as an entrepreneur. So what advice would you have about trying to find your people who can be the best thinking partners for the challenges you're facing now?
I would say join as many groups, think groups that you can. And in those groups, you're not going to connect with everyone. There will be a few or a handful that you'll connect with, like the Effective Cannabis Newsletter was created out of a group, a training group. We all went to get certified to become cannabis educators. And I threw out an idea of let's just create the Effective Cannabis Newsletter. And five people raised their hand and said, that sounds like a good idea. And then a whole bunch of people said, I would love to participate, but I don't want to work there. And I said, so I need a team. Let's just get a team of volunteers. So there were five people that raised their hand and volunteered to work with us and create this. And we started out with an idea, and we've ended up in 33 countries now, reaching a huge audience of people that want this information, and all are still here working, and we're all a volunteer team. So it's, you know, connecting with groups and then finding the people within that group that you can connect with that have your values and your same core.
Love that. Debbie, if someone wants to go deeper with anything we've discussed today, learn more about you and what you're up to, or access any resources that you have, where's the best place to go?
Effectivecannabis.com or DebbieWimberly.com would probably be the best places that you could go. Or the EffectiveCannabisNewsletter.com. We have three sources that you can gain information. And then I'm also on Instagram and LinkedIn.
Sounds great. Well, Debbie, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. You have a great story. My guest today has been the founder and CEO of Effective Cannabis, Debbie Wimberly. Thank you, Debbie, for joining us.
Thank you, David. It was very much a pleasure to be here.
Running your own business can feel isolating. That's why we created Smash Through Your Business Roadblocks, a live interactive session where experienced professionals bring real challenges and work through them together using the Smash framework. It's your chance to experience the Smashing the Plateau community, a space where corporate refugees support one another to keep moving forward. You'll leave with fresh momentum, clarity, and maybe even a few new allies in your corner. Guest spots are limited, so grab yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.